Go to Romans chapter number 8. I have a sense where God wants to go in the conference about the glory of God, but there's so much to it that I just thought I'd take tonight and share another side of some things. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. You might say, well, I have needs in my life. Yeah, and this is gonna speak directly to it. You might think, well, the glory of God, what's that have to do with my needs and so forth? Oh, a whole lot. Hallelujah. But really, the glory of God's really only limitedly understood in the church. I'm talking about the church world, because, people just have a lot of their own thinking, like everything else in the church world. They got a lot of their own thinking, and rather than just examine the word and see what it actually says. Of course, we understand the glory of God is a manifestation of the divine presence, and then it can appear like a cloud. Presence of God that's like a radiant, bright cloud. We see it in the book of Acts. Like whenever Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, he was struck down on the road to Damascus, there shone a bright light around him. That's the glory of God. And when John saw Jesus in the book of Revelation, he was just glowing with the glory of God. His face and hair were so white you couldn't even see it. Well, it wasn't really white like that, although was because of the glory. The glory was shining. Yes. And he says, like looking at the sun.
Yeah.
That's the glory of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. In the Old Testament, it stood over the tabernacle and over the temple as a cloud.
Yeah.
You know? And you can see it on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember Jesus, the Bible said, as Jesus, Moses, and Elijah spoke and talked to one another, that the cloud overshadowed them, a bright cloud, glistening, you know, and he became, his garments became whiter than any, it says fuller, that means laundromat, on earth could make it. Wow. That's take a dose of that. That'll get all the spots out. No, those things aren't trivial. I shouldn't be trivial like that. But you understand that that's what that was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Stephen, when he was being stoned, looked up into heaven and saw the glory of God. When Jesus was, it's all through the Bible. When Jesus raised, of course, from the dead, the Bible said God raised him from the dead by the glory of the Father. And then whenever he was speaking the last things he said to his disciples, he was received up. Remember whenever he ascended up, the Bible said, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Praise the Lord. I don't believe that was a rain cloud. I believe that was the glory of God. And then two angels appeared out of that cloud and said, why you look up, with such amazement? He said, the same Jesus that you've seen depart, I'm not going to be able to quote it exactly right now, but something to the effect, the same one you've seen depart is going to come again in the same manner. You got to read that real closely. It's in the same manner. Well, how was he received up? He was received up into glory. So whenever he comes back, he's going to come back in the glory.
Right. Yes. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I believe before he comes, there's going to be a whole lot of glory.
Yes.
Haggai says, the glory of the latter house. Haggai chapter 2, you remember? Verse 7, 8, 9, down through there. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we have promises in James of the early and the latter rain. So there's a whole lot that we don't have time to get into tonight. And so that's one side of the glory of God. Most Christians haven't even hardly heard anything about that. I mean, if something like that showed up, they wouldn't know what it was. Amen. We were preaching on it on the road quite a bit, Pastor Debbie and I, before we came here to pastor. And we saw it quite often. I remember a man one time stood up. I was preaching on the glory of God, and I was just reading scriptures in the Old Testament about it. I had a list of some scriptures, and I was reading scripture after scripture, making some comments. I was going to come over into the New Testament, because we're in the New Testament, aren't we? And as I was reading those Old Testament scriptures, I was the Spirit of God was starting to come on me to preach, and I was started to say some things, and I looked up. And when I looked up, this church had, a center section and two aisles, kind of, like we have. When I looked up, right about here, the leadership team was sitting about right here. And I looked up right over the leadership team, the worship team, the leadership team, pastors, everybody sitting here. And when I looked up, just as clear as I had ever seen anything in any cloud in the sky, there's a cloud hanging over this section of the auditorium. And I looked at it, and whenever I looked at it, I blinked. You know, how many of you know, sometimes you just want to make sure your eyes aren't playing tricks on you.
Yeah.
Or something, you know. Some of the pus from sleeping too much, you know. Just, what's going on here? Because I don't believe in making stuff up.
No,
you start making stuff up, people will find you out after a while.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, and no, it was a real cloud.
Yeah.
And I tried to say something. I couldn't say anything. Spirit of God was in my mouth and got in my tongue. I couldn't say anything. And I was trying to. And I guess, I don't know that he ever saw it, but there was a man sort of sitting to the side of where the worship, where the leadership team was, and worship team. And he must have sensed something, and he stood up and lifted up both hands to worship God. He's in this aisle, kind of. He kind of stepped out into the aisle. And I couldn't talk, but I could see him. And when he stepped out into the aisle, he's standing. It looked like somebody hit him. I mean the way he fell over. It looks like somebody hit him and knocked him over. Because he's standing there like that. He hit the concrete, and the carpet was I don't even think the carpet was as thick as this.
Wow.
You know, right under this is concrete.
Yeah.
And he hit that so hard that some of the church went, everybody, I mean, the oxygen went out of the building, kind of like. You know, and if you're in your natural mind, you could think, uh-oh, he's in trouble. I mean, you could hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, wham, hit the concrete. You could hear his head hit the concrete.
Wow.
And but not a person moved because of the presence of God.
Yeah.
Later, there's a whole lot happened that night because that's the end of my preaching. It really was. I mean, God moved, and there were some things. Maybe I'll tell you eventually, but I've told it in the past. But anyway, he's later after the service, people were asking him, "Are you all right?" You know, and because he laid there for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Are you all right? And he said, "What do you mean, all right?" They said, "Well, you hit so hard. I mean, you could hear it. Wham." And he said, "Oh, I did? I didn't know that." He said, "I felt like I went down like I was laying on a pillow or something."
Yeah.
How many of you know God will take care of you?
Yeah.
Now, somebody said, "Well, if it's really God and people fall out under the power, why do you have ushers?" Because sometimes it's God and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
Sometimes people think it's their charismatic duty, you know. I mean, let's be honest about this. And my mama gave me a brain whenever I was a kid, so we put ushers behind people. Somebody said, "That's falling out under the power. Is that God?" Well, that it can't be in the Bible, is it? Well, let's see. When the angels appeared, they rolled away the stone, and the guards were standing there. The Bible said they became as dead men. Remember that? When the glory came in the temple in the Old Testament, it said the priest couldn't stand to minister. Because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And I could give you more scriptures. There's more than that. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, we'll get into that during the conference. How's that? I want to go a different direction here tonight. Amen. There's a lot more to that. But look here in Romans 8. Did you go to Romans 8, verse number 30? You can see a lot of references in the Bible to the glory of God that don't have much to do from the context with what I just described. Like, here's one. I mean, to a degree, you could apply this term glory to what I just said, but there's a lot of things that just don't quite fit. Like, here's one, Romans 8, verse number 26, you know, verse 27, we talk about, the Bible talks about praying in the Spirit, and God being a partner in their labors. Verse 28 says in the Amplified, all these things will work out because God will get his way as we yield to the Holy Ghost, not just every little thing, but God doesn't get his way in every little thing. There's things that happen that are not God's will. People use this verse to say something it doesn't say. But in verse 29, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. He's talking about to salvation and so forth. And whom he also called, them he also justified. That means made righteous. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, I want you to notice that all those things are past tense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I said that's past tense. He didn't say we have to go to heaven to have this state or this condition in our life. Amen. This is for right now. That's past tense. He already did it.
Yes.
Have you been justified? Anybody here been justified?
Yes.
No, not by works, but by grace through our faith. We've been justified. The Bible makes that real clear. I mean, Romans. Just read Romans. You won't get through a whole chapter of Romans, any chapter you pick, and it'll talk about that. But we're justified by faith through our faith in the finished work of Christ. Okay. And then whom he justified, them he also... That's just as much past tense as justified is past tense.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Well, let's look at another verse here. Look at the, let's read the Amplified before we go any further. Romans 8:30 in the Amplified, just the end of it there. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. Raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. That's how you go out and you call the pigs, but I'm not calling the pigs, I'm calling glory. I know you came for the sound effects, but come for the word too, you know. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What does glorified mean? The Amplified says, raising them to a heavenly dignity. Ooh, there's a raising here. This glorification is a raising. To a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. Now, when's he going to do that? Whenever we get our glorified body? Nope. He already did it. Thank God we're going to get our glorified body. But he's already done this. Amen. That's past tense. All right, go to 1 Corinthians 2 here, verse number 7. We got to get rolling. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 7. Let's back up, actually, to verse number 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, that means mature, yet not the wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2:6, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Now, what's he talking about when he says wisdom? If you look up the word, if you read and study the wisdom of God in the New Testament, there's different things he calls the wisdom of God. But primarily, the overall overarching definition of the wisdom of God in the New Testament is his plan of redemption.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
What he did in Christ through the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. So we could read it that way. We speak this plan of redemption in a mystery. Now, there's a lot of people that don't understand it because they're trying to figure it out with their heads. So it's a mystery to them. But we speak it in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, another translation says, I didn't look up which one it was. It says, he marked it off or set it aside as his plan to lift us into the glory. Well, isn't that great? We're going to be one day taken up into glory, you know, whenever we either die or when Jesus comes back, either one. Yes, that's true. There's no question about that. But remember, Romans said he's already done this. What did he do? The Amplified says he raised us to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. Now, that's already happened, but you and I don't see each other walking in a cloud of the presence of God. Now, his presence is in us.
Yes. Yes.
And the potential of that showing up is there all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're going to see a lot more things before Jesus comes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Where people are just glowing with the glory of God. I mean, you can see it in the spirit sometimes. You can just see people's faces and see, well, that's a Christian. I mean, I see that in airports. I see it at restaurants, traveling, and so forth. You can just, yeah, they're a Christian. You can just see it. You can just see it. Amen. But that's more of a spiritual thing than something you can see in the natural. But I believe even before Jesus comes, we're going to see a whole lot of people glowing. Yeah. Yeah, don't touch them. Don't hurt them. It'll hurt you to hurt them. They won't get hurt. Anyway, that's all free. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 7 says the plan of redemption is God is the was God's plan. Notice, God had a purpose in this. It was to bring us back to the glory.
Yes.
Well, all have sinned and come short of
The
glory of God.
Yeah.
So the plan of God was to bring us back to what we lost. God's plan for man has always been the glory. My God said, and I hear people say things sometimes, they have this religious voice, that's why I say it this way, but God said he won't share his glory with another. You got to go back there and find that verse. See, do you even know where that is? You're just quoting what you heard somebody else say. You don't even know what it said. You don't know the context. You don't know all that. If you look at the context, he's talking about idols. He won't share his glory with idols. And yes, whenever something wonderful happens, something miraculous happens, he won't share the credit with us. We can't share the praise with him. It all goes to him. We understand that. That's another side of this. But when it comes to the manifest presence of God, or it comes to this dignified position here that he's talking about, that we're going to look at tonight, God has freely shared that with us. He originally created man to be in a glorified condition. Remember whenever they sinned, they were naked. They knew they were naked. And they hid themselves. Why didn't they know they were naked before? Because they were clothed in the glory. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory. And so whenever they sinned, the glory cloud left. And they just lived in a cloud. They lived radiant and bright and shining. Hallelujah. Remember they made their own clothes, and God said, well, no, I'll put some animal skins on you. So, but see, that's what they lost. Well, God's plan has always been to bring us back to that. And step by step, he's getting it done. First of all, the glory came in us. And then we got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that's another step. But we need to keep taking these steps. I say we need to keep taking these steps. There's things you can do to walk more and more in the glory, and not just the presence of God, the manifest presence of God. There's like so many sides of this we could get into, but to walk in this position here, let's understand that a little better. Now, John chapter 17, verse number 22. I don't know. I thought maybe I'd get a little further along than tonight, but we'll just move here. John 17. Look what Jesus prayed before he left. He said in verse number 22, let's go back to verse 5. There's two references or two mentions in this chapter. This is Jesus praying. I think it was probably in the garden. It doesn't actually say here, but before he left, before he was crucified. And it says in verse number 5, there's a lot to it, but here's his prayer. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Oh, Lord. What a request. We're going to get more to that later, but come to the 17th chapter, or you're in the 17th chapter, but come to the 22nd verse. Here's another reference he made to the glory in this prayer. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one. Ooh, my. The glory that thou hast given me, I have given them. Now here's another verse that tells us the glory of God Are you listening closely? Which God gave, was not just for him. He gave it to us. Amen. It is man's to experience, to enjoy, and to manifest.
Amen.
Isn't that right? God didn't keep this to himself. Jesus said, the glory you gave me, I've given them. Well, okay. He didn't say, I'm going to. He said, I have. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Now, that sounds foreign to some believers, because what I said about that verse in the Old Testament, I'll not share my glory with another. But see, that's not talking about... there's a whole lot we could say. I've already passed 17 rabbit trails. You realize that? Because this subject in the Bible is huge. But let me just mention, he said here in that verse in the Old Testament, I'll not share my glory with another. And the context is idols. And then number two, yes, he won't share the credit with us whenever something glorious happens. That's him, not us. Remember, Jesus himself said, I can of my own self do nothing. If he can't do anything without God the Father working it in him, then you and I aren't going to do anything. I mean, that's easy peasy right there. I mean, 2-year-old can understand that. So we understand he won't share the credit. He won't share the praise with us. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about his glory. And so when he said, I'll not share my glory with another, number one, he's talking about idols. But you see, number two, we're not another. Covenant makes two one. And we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs. We are not another. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I'll be honest with you. In the death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus got in the death, burial, and resurrection, I should add, and the ascension, was not because he needed all that. What he got was because he came down here to get it for us. And if he didn't join us with him in everything he got, then the whole purpose of him coming failed. But no, it didn't fail. I'm having a good time. I'm going to... So, we're not another. Covenant made one out of two. Made one out of two. Amen. And so whatever's his is mine. And vice versa, whatever's mine is his. Except we didn't have anything to offer but sin. Broke, busted, disgusted. Sorry, messed up in our head.
Come on.
And he said, I'll come into covenant with you and I'll take all yours. He took all of that. And he said, but covenant means all I have is yours. So it was a great exchange. That's what happened. So, and that'll preach. Tell your neighbor he's passing another rabbit trail right there. Well, not really. I mean, we're going to spend some time on that. And so he really provides his glory to us. Amen. And so he's talking about whom he, back there in Romans 8 again, verse 30. I mean, you don't have to turn there, but just in your thinking. Whom he has justified, them he's also glorified.
Yes.
Let's put it this way. The Amplified says he's lifted, how did it say that there? He raised them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's you right now. That's not going to happen. That's you right now. Hallelujah. And so whom he's justified, them he's also glorified. So let's put it this way. And I like saying it just helps my thinking. A glorified life. Is that what we got? Whom he's justified, them he's also glorified. So a glorified life could also be called a glorious life. It could be called a life full of God's glory. Or a glorious life. Amen. Or, and that's, of course, the present tense possession. And so, but Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, if you read through the epistles, we're identified with him. We were crucified with him. Yeah. Paul said, it's no longer I that live. I was crucified with him. Yeah. Yeah. But it's him now that lives in me and so forth. So you can see Paul identifying through the in Christ revelation all through the New Testament that we were there with him. Somebody said, on the cross, Jesus was dying. And Paul said, yeah, and I was there too. Yeah. And that's true about all of us. And so... When Jesus died, was buried, that was us. And when he was raised again, that was us. Because Ephesians says he raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6. And he said, and from chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, where we're sitting is far above all principality and power. That's an exalted position, isn't it? And you can see from the Amplified, that's what he's talking about. And from other scriptures we're going to look at, that position that we now have in the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, us being made one with him in that, gave us a new position, a new seat. It is an exalted position. And a higher seat than our spiritual former seat. And it has... new privileges.
Amen.
It's a new position. It has new privileges. And it has possessions.
Yes, sir.
There are, when you get installed in a company, in the natural world, a business of some kind, you get installed into a new position. Maybe a manager, or maybe even something higher, maybe a CEO or CFO or something, you know, you're up in a higher position. It comes with certain privileges. It comes with certain authority. It comes with certain possessions. There's a salary attached to it. Amen. And as soon as you step into that position, you step into some things you didn't have before. You're now over a team, maybe. Maybe you have to give direction to a portion of the employees or something, you know, depending on the position, how it all works. But you now have authority and privileges. Authority is not as much a privilege as it is a responsibility, but I mean, there are some privileges that go along with that authority. And there is possessions that go along with that. And it came with the position. Are you with me?
Yes. Yes, sir.
You didn't earn it. You just got the, whenever you got the position, it came. It's yours.
Right.
Hallelujah.
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 So Jesus, when he was resurrected, remember we're in him whenever he did this. When Jesus was resurrected, he was not just resurrected back to the earth. Although he did walk the earth for a few days. God's plan for him and us was much greater than that, much higher than that, much more glorious. Amen. It was that he be restored to the glory which he had before the world began. He said that in chapter 17, verse 5. Do you believe whenever he prayed that in John 16 or John 17, you believe that Jesus, that God heard Jesus pray?
Yes.
I believe God heard him, and I believe he gave it to him.
Yes.
And when he raised him from the dead, and Jesus ascended up on high and sat down, that was a fulfillment of that request.
Amen.
Glorify me with the glory which I had with you before the world began. Now, we understand the glory, the radiance of God's presence, the anointing of the Spirit was included in that.
Right.
But see, it's not just that. Right. The glory includes the position that he's seated at.
Yeah.
Are you following me tonight? I didn't know it was going to be so teachy.
Hallelujah.
But I think it's important. We haven't done a lot of foundation laying on some of this. It's important that we take the time to lay this foundation. Are you willing to just let that foundation get laid?
Yes.
And so whenever he said that there in John 17, 5, glorify me with thine own self with the glory which I had before the world began, he got that. But he shared it with us from verse 22. I said he shared it with us. Hallelujah. Those are some of the two most important scriptures on the glory in the New Testament. John 17:5 and 17:22. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, the power that raised him from the dead didn't just raise him back to the earth in a glorified body. It did raise him, and he came back to the earth in a glorified body. But I said it didn't just raise him back to the earth in a glorified body. It raised him and put him all the way up into the heavenly holy of holies to sit down at the right hand of the Father. And that's a position of authority. Hallelujah. That plan of redemption that included Jesus' ascension to the glorious, exalted place at the right hand of the Father brought us into it. The plan of redemption is what he's fulfilling, and it brought us into that. We're one with him. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Are you still with me? And so you can substitute this word here in John 17:22, the glory which thou gavest me. You could say the exalted position that you gave me. Amen. If you get a new position at work, and it has higher privileges, it's more authority in the company or whatever, your body got it as well as your head. Isn't that right? We're the body, individual members of the body, all the body of Christ worldwide is the body, but Jesus is the head. God did not just exalt the head and leave the body spiritually in a low place. Yes, we're still down here on earth, but spiritually, our position, this new created spirit being on the inside, the new creation in Christ, is not a low level creation. It is a creation that is in the image of God and is raised higher than our former position in the spirit world to sit at the right hand of the Father. And we now and that seat has privileges, and we can from that place exercise the authority of God's throne itself. That don't make you shout, that just no shout in you. Amen. Hallelujah. So he returned to that after he was raised from the dead. Amen. But you have to keep in mind that we were as well inward. Remember, if you read Ephesians, see if I can go back here. Let's just look at something in Ephesians chapter number 1. The prayer Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus includes this revelation. It says, verse number 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, he wants us to see this.
Yes.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is the end of all begging God. This is the egg of all praying that the devil will leave me alone.
That's right.
Eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. The riches of the glory, now notice this, of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Okay, which power now? Wait, which power? Who believe, according to the working of his mighty power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand. So that power that raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand was to usward. That wasn't just towards Jesus to raise him and seat him. It was towards us. I'm glad I started this tonight because it takes a little bit of groundwork to get it started and get it going and see the revelation of it. And so Paul prayed here that we would see this, that it was all that all this was to usward. Jesus had this place before he came to earth. He didn't need it. Yes, he stepped down to come down to earth. But he did that for us. The whole reason he came was for us. Him praying that in John 17:5, praying that I would have, that he would get that seat back and that authority back, wasn't just because he never had it. He had it. He could have stayed there. He had to fulfill the will of God to come down here. But you know what I mean? He was fine before he came down here and needed to get it back.
Right.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
In other words, he did this all for us.
Right.
And if he didn't include us in what he got, then he failed.
Right.
But no, the power was to usward. If you look at some Christian's life, it looks like he failed, but that's just because they don't have the eyes of their understanding enlightened. God did not fail. Jesus did not fail. The glory did not fail. The position is theirs. You're in as high a position as you will ever be. Already. You're already there. I said, you're already there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Are you still there tonight? He did it to bring us into it. Into it with him as a joint heir. Hallelujah. So we have inherited this glory or this exalted position. And what it gives us is, you got to keep going back to this, is it gives us privileges. It gives us a different kind of life. In other words, that's what I meant when I said a glorious life. A glorious life. The glorified life is a glorious life. A life of privilege. It's one endowed with higher possessions and greater position and greater privileges. Amen. It's one full of favor. One full of power. One full of ability. One full of authority. Amen. These are all present tense privileges. It's one that in which we are accepted. It's one that we have fellowship with the Father. It's a life that we are no longer victims in of the enemy, the curse, darkness, sin, bondage, or mental torment. We're no longer subject to the things that pushes other people around. We're seated far above it. That's the glory of God. I said, that's the glory of God. Say it to your neighbor, that's the glory of God. We've heard so many testimonies of people saying no in the name of Jesus to sickness or whatever. That's the glory of God right there. And he shared it with us. I said he shared it with us. So those things that used to push us around don't push us around anymore. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, here's another thing that you need to understand about the glorified life. The glorified life is a life lived in the glory of the victory that someone else fought and won. Someone else fought to get this for us. Now, we understand, like in our natural military, there's certain glory in, you know, commanders or generals or whoever who do great feats in battle and so forth and so forth. There's glory in that, isn't there? But yet, right on the other hand, whenever they win that battle, let's talk about the United States military right now, whenever they win a battle, they did all the fighting, and we get to live in the glory of all the victory. Isn't that right? So one of the ways you can look at the glorified life, because that's what we're going back to Romans 8, verse 30. Remember, whom he justified, he glorified. That's a life that lives in the glory of the victory that somebody else fought to win for us. Amen. You and I are not in a life. This is lower than our position. We're not in a life that we always have to fight all the time. Somebody already fought and defeated what is opposing, harassing, intimidating, and just trying to generally work against our lives. Hallelujah. See, that's what the Bible means when it says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We didn't fight, but we get to live in the glory of his victory. That's a glorious life. You've heard me say it before. Whenever a man goes out and earns a paycheck, then he's a conqueror. But when he brings that home and gives it to his wife, now she's more than a conqueror. She didn't have to do a thing. Some of you wives are looking at your husbands real sweet right now. It's a good time for a lot of high-pitched amens right there. Amen. That's what more than a conqueror means. We didn't fight the battle, but we got in all the glory of the victory. Hallelujah. A conqueror has to fight to win battles and win possession of things. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. How did we get? How did we get up in here? You know what I'm talking about? How did we get here? We didn't put ourselves here. See, every time you read, like in the Bible, he's raised us up together, seated us together in heavenly places. Always remember that in Christ. In other words, somebody put us there. We didn't fight to get up there or anything. No, somebody put us there. Like somebody, as a countryfied man that said this, you can hear this and understand. But he said, every time you're driving down a country road and you see a turtle sitting on top of a fence post, he said, you instantly know one thing. Somebody put him there. He didn't climb up there. Somebody put him there. And so when people see us in Christ and we see this exalted, glorified position that we're in, they have to look at it and say, somebody put them there. Somebody put them there. Yes, they did. I said, yes, they did. I like the story Evie Hill tells about taking a tour of the White House. I mean, Evie Hill I love to hear Evie Hill preach. He's now in heaven, but he used to be on TBN a lot. And he'd preach, he'd talk about, he was born into poverty. I don't know, some southern country, not country, but state. State down south. Born into deep poverty. Yeah. Amen. Way, way, way back in the country. I mean, so far back in the country that the June bugs didn't come out till August. That's the country. Where Pastor Debbie and I now live, they come out in July, but we're getting there. So he grew up way back in the country and in a poor, I think if I remember right, it was a log cabin, and I think it even had a dirt floor, if I remember right. I could be wrong about that part. Am I right? You remember him telling that story? So, but, you know, he said, God called him and he started preaching and God kept using him and his ministry became more and more known and he became known all over the world then and he had an invitation by his senator to come tour the White House, you know, because they wanted, you know, just to honor him and so forth. And so he was there and this, I think it was a senator or somebody, was giving him the tour. Of course, the senator had the badge and the, you know, the pass and all that, and he could get through doors other people couldn't get through. And every time the senator would go through a door, E.V. Hill's behind him, and he's walking through that door. And security would say, wait a minute, you know, where's your pass? And he said the senator would turn around and say, he's with me.
That's right. Yep. Come on.
Yep. E.V. Hill, I'm with
That's
him, you know.
Right. Yeah. That's
right. And so they would say, okay, come on through. Yeah. Amen. And that's what Jesus did. I mean, we started coming in with him. Yeah. Wait.
Yes.
And Jesus said, he's with me.
Yeah.
Come on in. Come on in. Sitting together. That gives you privileges. Amen. I mean, that position enables you to put one hand on the throne and raise the rod of God over the situation that you're dealing with and declare some things. That's how God does things. He speaks. Well, this mess we've got all over the world now, how's he going to do this? The Bible said Jesus is coming back with a sword in his mouth. Yeah, what is that? That's the word of God speaking. And his words will demolish and destroy strongholds and the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. And it'll do that in our mouth right now today. Hold these things back. Anyway, that's all free. So say we're heirs of God and joint heirs. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says that we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So this exalted position. And then it says in 1 John 2, 6, that in this earth we should walk even as he walked. And so as a joint heir of this exalted position, it gives us the privilege to walk a certain way. Well, how did he walk? We should walk even as he walked. How did he walk as a man in authority?
Yeah.
I said as a man in authority. I mean, you know, the wind and the waves. Peace be still.
Yeah.
To the dead, you know, rise.
Yeah.
To the sick, rise. Take up your bed and walk.
Oh, yeah.
To fevers, he rebuked the fever.
Yeah.
To fig trees, he cursed the fig tree.
Yes.
That's a man in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was Jesus. He could do that. No, Jesus didn't seem to think that. Jesus said in John, after he cursed the fig tree, he said, whosoever shall say.
Right. Yeah.
He's bringing us back into this place where we, listen, okay, now some people are going to have trouble with this, but this is the way it's really written in the Word. We get to act like God. I did not say we are God. I did not say we are God. I said we get to act like Him. Man was originally created in God's image and in His likeness. What does likeness mean? Image means in His form, and I mean, if you were to see God, the Bible said no man can see Him and live, especially His face, but you would see, it wouldn't, on the throne, it wouldn't look like some other creation, it would look like a man.
Yeah.
I don't mean with, I mean you, with the glory, of course, but you know what I mean. So, I didn't say God was a man, I'm saying that's, that we were created in His image.
Yes, sir.
And we, the shape, and there's a, so, but then His likeness means, if you look up the word image and likeness, they're little different words in the Hebrew. One means His image, which includes in the New Testament, Paul said includes righteousness, by the way. And then His likeness means we do things like He does them.
Yeah.
We do things like He does. That's why Jesus said, speak to things and they'll obey you. Because that's the way He is. That's the way He does things. Now, I don't mean you're going to create worlds or planets or anything like that, but in your realm of authority. Do you have a realm of authority down here? You sure do. You sure do. I do. Praise God. And let's take advantage of the privileges that this new seat gives us. Amen. But when man walks like God and acts like God, he's walking in the glory of God. He's taking advantage of those privileges. The Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, the Vine's definition of the word glory says one of the definitions is what God is and what God does. The character of God on exhibition.
Wow.
His character, attributes, qualities, nature and abilities. Did you get that? And Jesus said in John 17:22, He shares that with us. And that will flow through the church. To the church and through the church. Now we're a little deeper into the Word of God tonight, so I know it's a little bit, you know, you don't just, well, I'm going to grab one thing out of it. No, there's a whole lot coming at you tonight. This is maybe not something that we should take this kind of depth all the time, but I think it's important that we understand this. God gave His glory. He shared it with man. Well, I don't have God's nature. Well, what makes you say that? If you're born again, the Bible said we're partakers of the divine nature. 1 Peter, what is that, 1:4? Is that verse 4 there? He's made us partakers of the divine nature. Then the Bible says that we've received eternal life. And then 1 John says, we know we've passed from death unto life. And here's why. Because we love the brethren. And the love of God, Romans 5:5, is shed abroad in our heart. That's the nature of God. The love of God's the nature of God. God is love. And that love shed abroad in our heart. That means we're partakers of the divine nature. We've passed from death unto life. That means spiritual death and spiritual life. We've partaken of the divine nature. We know we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. But that love is the indication that a man's been born again. I hated my brothers before I got saved because of the way they treated me. But boy, the day I got saved, I just loved them to you know, like we said, to bits. I know that's not a good thing to say, but you know what I'm talking about? For a while, until my flesh took over because they did some things again, you know. But it was still in my heart. Hallelujah. And so there's a lot of religion people have trouble with. What some of these things we're sharing tonight because of religious teachings. But Jesus said He shared all these things with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Jesus doesn't occupy this position alone. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
He shared it with us. And so he became the glorified head of the church, but he raised us up with him as members of his body to partake of all that he experiences and enjoys there. We're not there in our physical body yet, or in a glorified body yet, but we're there spiritually. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so Ephesians, when it says, are you still in Ephesians 1? He wants us to know the power that's to usward that raised him from the dead and seated him. Notice you could also say, not only did the power raise him from the dead, but it seated him. In other words, it raised him and it seated. It raised him all the way up. It raised him past the earth. It raised him past hell. It got him out of hell, defeated the enemy. It raised his body up, but it also quickened his spirit.
Yeah.
The Bible said Jesus was justified in spirit.
Yeah.
People have trouble with that because they don't believe he died spiritually.
Yeah.
Justified means made righteous.
Yes.
Right. You can't be made righteous unless you were made to be sin.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, the Bible said God made him to be sin for us. He did not sin, but he was made our sin. Well, whenever he was made to be sin, he had to pay all the penalties of our sin. It wasn't for him, but it was for our penalty. He paid the penalty of all that, and the wages of sin is death, so he had to die. Somebody said physically, yeah, but spiritually. He could never have died physically if he had not died spiritually.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And we have indication of that throughout the whole scripture, all the scriptures. But see, when God, the glory of God, Bible said in Romans chapter number 4, chapter number 6, verse number 4, God raised him from the dead by the glory of the Father. Another verse says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So the glory is the spirit of God in manifest form. And that glory came into hell, quickened his spirit, brought his spirit alive spiritually. He came back alive from spiritual death, kicked the devil in the head to fulfill the prophecy in Genesis 1 or Genesis 3, wherever it is, Genesis 4, I guess it is, where Jesus, where God said that to the serpent, there's one coming who's going to bruise your head and you will bruise his heel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus defeated him, kicked him in the head. That's why he's so messed up in the head.
Yeah.
He really is. I mean, he's got a strange. Notice people that listen to him, they turn strange. They turn strange. I'm not trying to pick on them. I'm just simply saying it's not sound. And so God raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus kicked the devil in the head, and then he stripped the enemy of everything that Satan had stolen from us.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus, there was a great exchange in hell. Remember Sunday morning during the Easter service? There was a great exchange in hell. There were some things Jesus took into hell, and there were some things he brought out of hell. What he took into hell was what Satan had put on us. What he brought out of hell is what Satan had stolen from us. The authority of the believer, everything. And so he raised Jesus from the dead. He defeated, I'm talking about God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus came alive, kicked the devil in the head, and spoiled him. That means he stripped him of everything he had that he had gotten from us. And that's what he went in there to do, is redeem us from Satan and everything he had stolen from us. And he stripped it all from him, and he raised up out of hell, came up to the earth, came into his body, the life and anointing that was in that, in his recreated spirit, came, made that physical body on the earth in the tomb come back alive. The power that raised him from the dead caused the stone to roll back, and angels appeared to roll the stone back. Amen. There's a whole lot of glory in the resurrection of Christ. But then he didn't just stay there, it raised him all the way up to heaven. I know we're going over this and over this and over this, but you and I have to see ourselves as one with him in this. And Paul said here in Ephesians 1, that power didn't just raise him from the dead to stop back here on earth in a glorified body. It raised him all the way up to the seat at the right hand of the Father God. Hallelujah. And he did it for us. Amen. Whatever he got was not just his, it was ours. Amen. And that's what he was praying in Ephesians. If you read, we read Ephesians 6, excuse me, John 17:22. We saw there, he said I'm sharing the glory with them. But he, just in two verses earlier, he said, I'm praying for those that are here listening to me pray, and I'm praying for the ones that will hear and listen and receive me because of their preaching.
Amen.
That's all the way here to us.
Yes,
he wants us all to get this.
Yes, he does.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's our responsibility to not only receive this revelation of our exalted position, but to become skillful in the privileges of it. No test or trial can change your exalted position. Amen. And guess what? Worry reveals that you're unskillful in operating in this position. Worry in this is beneath this position. Worrying about paying your bills is beneath this. Amen. There's a broad wealth of privilege and in this seat. And those who don't know that, they worry about things of the earth. Worry about their financial needs. Worry about the future. They're not skillful. They've not been taught. Are you still with me tonight? I'm almost done here. I mean, for this part. Hallelujah. And so God has a higher position for you in life than worrying. And, you know, there's another thing that goes along with this. You're not just down here to just pay your bills. Are you with me? It's wrong for you to keep thinking about how you're going to get your natural needs met and so forth and so on. And it's wrong for you to fellowship with all those thoughts of worry and so forth and so on. And this position is higher than that. You know, this illustration, Pastor Nancy used this illustration, helps me so much. Our president, when he gets elected, is put in a position that all of a sudden gives him command and charge of the federal government. I mean, there's three branches. We understand this, you know, but in the executive branch. And so there's certain things he can do and say and change and so forth and so on. We might like it and might not, but the position gives it to him. But then he can start setting the agenda for the country and start deciding who to make agreements with, foreign powers. Of course, Congress is supposed to ratify it. You know, there's checks and balances. But you understand, he can start setting that and start deciding, like right now, our new president. This is the first time I called him president, by the way. I don't call him president. Now, if that bothers you, then go be bothered by yourself. But he's you know, deciding to make a different policy with Iran right now.
Yeah.
Our former president had a different policy. Well, he's starting to reaching out to Iran, so forth and so on. But what that does is it dignifies them to the level that he's on.
Come on.
You realize that a thug like that doesn't deserve the dignity of a meeting. You know what I'm talking about. And so he's raising that person up to the level of the dignity of the office of the President of the United States. Well, somebody said, well, we shouldn't do that. Yeah, and you shouldn't raise worry up to the level of your dignified position. Don't bring it up to that seat. Don't bring it up to that level. That's beneath that position. It's beneath that position. You have a privilege of being able to speak to things and telling them what to do. And that's a much higher privilege than worrying and, you know, crying and boo-hooing about the needs. Pastor's preaching better than your amen. And hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God has a higher place for you than that. Hallelujah. So don't fellowship with those things. Don't hold conversations with the thoughts of worry. That brings them up to where you're seated. They're just not worthy of that. Amen. You're exalting them and recognizing them too highly. Amen. And so don't think that anything that happens, any circumstances, changes this position you're in. You'll never have a better position than you have right now. But you will become more skillful in operating in the privileges of this position than you may be right, than you might have right now. You understand? That's what Paul said in Hebrews 3? I think it's Hebrews chapter number 3, somewhere there, where he talks about I think I have the wrong chapter, but he talks about those that are babes are unskillful with the word of righteousness. 5:13 they're unskillful. Notice he didn't say they are not righteous. He said they're unskillful with the word of righteousness. A person can be something, but they're not skillful with who they are. And we have a church body and the body of Christ at large full of people like that. They're not skillful with their righteousness. They're not skillful with their authority. They're skilled in worry and all kinds of fear and all kinds of stuff chasing them around, chasing their head around. Thoughts chasing them around. Sickness, bondages, you know, marriage and relationship problems, all those things chasing them around. That's beneath that position. They're not skillful with the position. That doesn't change their position. You understand? But it does keep them from experiencing the privileges of that position. You'll never have a better position than you have in Christ. See, that position is waiting on our skill. It's waiting on us to speak the right words. Amen. Remember, that's what it means, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're wrapping this up. Stand up with me. That'll help me. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Remember, it says that we beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from what?
Glory to glory.
Glory to glory. What is that? That's progression. Progression in what? Progression in the glory. No, not more glory per se, but in the skill of walking in it.
Amen.
Amen. I said amen. Are you talking about the manifest presence of God? Yeah, that too. But the side we're talking about tonight is this exalted position, the skill of exercising the authority that position gives us. Amen. I used to not know how to do that, and I'm learning more all the time how to do that, and my life has become more glorious. And I can't take the credit. I'm not taking the credit, because he's the one that put me there, and he's also the one that taught me. So I can't say, well, I taught my... No, he graced us to understand these things. So all the glory in the sense of the praise, it goes back to him. But yet, right on the other hand, he was not the one that was going to exercise that authority for me. He raised me to the position to do that, and I had to become skillful with it. And I'm not as skillful today as I'm going to be. Anybody ever recognize areas that you can become more skillful? Maybe you've let yourself worry about something for an hour or two or a day or two or longer. Then finally, God deals with the pastor to preach on something like, oh my goodness, I've been listening to that for, okay, I'm getting better at this. Don't feel down on yourself. We've all been there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. I got it out. I got it out. We got a glorified life. A glorious life. Wonderful life. All that's given to us in this life. We just talked about one. I mean, just take the favor of God. That's a whole other side of this. That'll bring you into some amazing things in life. And it's the glory of God. It's just praise God. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands to God and thank him for it. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you tonight. Thank you tonight. Thank you tonight. Thank you for opening our eyes tonight, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Well, let's just act on it. Now, no better time to act on it than right now. If there's something in your life that you know from the scriptures, you know from the word of God, doesn't belong there, then why don't you just take advantage of the privileges of that position right now. Whether if you had a headache all day, whether, you know, you've got back pain, whether you've got whatever, what something's been bugging you, some harassment, some kind of person harassing some kind of delay, some sort of hindrance, something that's not, that's supposed to be progressing, is not progressing, then right there where you are, just take authority. Just take advantage of that position. You don't even have to have goosebumps. You don't have to hear an angel choir singing. You don't have to, you know, shake under the power. Just exercise that authority in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I'm in agreement. These that are taking that place, exercising that authority. Right now, tonight, I thank you. I thank you. The devil's fleeing. The devil's taking his hands off of that area of their life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. That's it. That's it. That's it. Ha, ha, ha. From now on, you just hold the enemy in the arena of faith. You know what I mean by that? You just stay in faith about that rather than saying, well, I don't know what's hindering that. You know what I'm talking about? You just stay in faith. Yeah, but it doesn't seem like there's much anointing on it. Does a policeman have to feel anything to walk out in the traffic, blow the whistle, hold his hand up, and stop the traffic? He doesn't have to feel a thing. The position is not dependent on feelings. It's dependent on just acting on it. He could feel lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. His wife was mad at him before he left the house. All kinds of problems and situations, and the dog pooped on the floor, and you know, and he's got to run to work. He don't feel any authority at all. But he puts that badge on, got that pistol, blows that whistle, holds up his hand. Everybody responds. Glory! You resisted him. He fled from you. Glory to God. Give God another shout. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Amen. So you just go your way and you say, thank God that's done. Thank God the devil's bound. Thank God the hindrance is gone. I remember one time I was walking through the house and I had a situation. I was believing God for in my body. And I said, I just say I'm free from this. I thought that sounded pretty good. Except something started bugging me down on the inside. So I learned that that's the Holy Ghost trying to say something to me. So I said, what is it, Lord? What's wrong with what I said? He said, when you said this, rather than that, it reveals your mentality about it's still present in your body. I said, I see that. I see that. It revealed my mentality. It's still here. I'm free from this.
Oh yeah, yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He said, but if you would have said that,
come on.
He said, and then he illustrated like this. He said, let's say you had a something valuable. You know, this is very useful. I can do this a lot of stuff with this nowadays. I can say, if I say, I really need this, or I really like this. The fact I said this means it's in my hand or it's close by me. But if it was laying over there and I come over here and I said, I really like that. I really like that. That helps. I need that. That helps me a lot. When I said that, that means it reveals my mentality that I'm presently removed from it.
Yes.
I said, Lord, ouch, but that helps me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me. See, the Holy Ghost will school you into faith. And he said to me, then he said, remember Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses?
Yes, sir.
I said, yeah. He said, where did he take them? I said, he took them away. He took them away. He said, then don't talk about them like they're here.
All right.
Talk about them as that. I'm free from that. I'm free from that. Do you see that? Not. I'm free from this. Well, you're getting there, but you're still in possession of it. You know. Hallelujah. I'm free from that. That worry stuff. I'm free from that. I'm free from that. Not. I'm free from this worry. I mean, you're holding on to it. I'm free from this. I'm free from this. How can you be free from it? Holding on to it. Woo! Glory. He took it away. He took it away. He took